Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst of friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join me on this episode, another Prospect Minute, is our prospect guru, Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am doing fantastically. We're rolling through some of these Prospect Minutes. We've got the draft guide hopefully coming to a close here shortly. Just working hard on getting ranks up and things like that. So a lot of great things happening at Friends of Fantasy Benefits, a lot of great things happening at Prospects Live, a number of the other sites I work for, Fantasy Alarm, FanGraphs. So gotta check out all our work all over the place.
Definitely.
All right. Before we jump in, remind everybody, you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. We are talking about the Tigers today.
Yeah, man. The number one pick in the draft last year, Casey Mize. Mm-hmm. Number one prospect here.
So they definitely have a little bit of added heft to the top of their system. But why don't you tell us a little bit about your prospect list for the Tigers?
Sure. As stated, Casey Mize is my number one guy. He's going to come in about the 50 range on my top 100. Casey Mize out of Auburn checks all the boxes you want for front of the rotation starter, top of the rotation guy, one or two starter. Good frame, nice repeatable delivery, gets good extension. It's a mid-90s fastball that has some life and a slider that probably becomes plus as well. But his best pitch in the bag is that splitter. He has a really, really good splitter, which I functioned as his changeup also at the same time because it changes speeds as well. Just drop off the table. But it's a true plus-plus pitch and is probably the best pitch in the draft last year overall. And the Tigers get Mize there. He's crossed rookie ball in high A, didn't throw too much, struck out over a batter in an inning, only walked two guys per nine. He's got the stuff and the juice to move quickly, but again, does Detroit want him to do that? Because their competitive window is farther out than some of the other AL Central teams we've talked about. Obviously, I would say yes. You want to, whenever he's ready, you bring him up just because of the volatility of pitchers and stuff, but it's not a really good match with their window because he's going to be ready to go in a year and a half, and Detroit's probably not going to be competitive for, what, three or four more years? So, but anyway, that's not Casey Mize's fault, and I think he's a hell of a pitcher. He's the first pitcher off the board in first-year player draft regardless of what the format is. I like Casey Mize a lot. He's slept on a little bit.
You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. All preseason long, we'll be bringing you the most in-depth analysis to get you ready for your drafts. There will be 30 team previews with 30 prospect previews during the month of January. That's 60 podcasts in 30 days. Then, we will be dropping almost daily pods until the start of the season. You can also get your 2019 draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit in ebook and paperback on Amazon.com. Or if you prefer, you can get it via email in PDF form. It has over 250 pages of analysis, player profiles, ranks, strategy guides, and prospect information for cheaper than the magazine you get in the store. Plus, we'll be updating both PDF and ebook all the way until draft season is over for any changes that happen in the landscape of fantasy baseball. Stay tuned all preseason long to Friends of Fantasy Benefits so you can be ahead of the curve.
It's going to be another arm. It's going to be Matt Manning, a loose athletic, another right-handed pitcher. Fastball sits in the mid-90s, can get 97, 98 with life. Has a really, really hammer curveball. Gets a good changeup with some fade. Comes from a basketball family. His dad was a college basketball player, or might have even been pros. I think he was a professional basketball player. Shaky command right now. Really only a two-picks mix. As the changeup lags behind the others right now. Needs that to go forward. The delivery is repeatable. He gets some good drive off the back leg. Maximizes his frame. Should be up. Him and Mize probably be in the rotation together in double A and probably both make the jump to AAA by the end of the season. So Matt Manning is fun. Number three is Isaac Paredes, who they got from the Cubs for reliever Justin Wilson. He moved quick, 19 years old last year, and spent some time in Double A. 278, 359, 456 slash with 28 doubles, 15 homers across High A and Double A. 10% walk rate, 15% K rate. Really, really good stuff. Uses all fields, good plate coverage. Probably a third baseman, but it doesn't matter because he hits. He's going to hit wherever you put him. Projects to be above average third baseman. Doesn't really have a ton of foot speed and a ton of range, so he's probably better suited for the corner, but he can hit 25 to 30 home runs. Paredes is a really, really nice prospect, and he's one that's slept on quite a bit. My number four guy is going to be a guy that's going to come up this year. He made his debut last year, Christian Stewart. Big left-handed power bat out of the University of Tennessee. 267, 375, 417 in his 60 at-bat major league sample. Hit two home runs. 13.9% walk rate in his brief major league sample and an 18% K rate. So the skills translated over. His minor league numbers last year were 12.8 on the walk and 20.3 on the strikeout. And he had 25 home runs in 453 at-bats. And the average, the slash line was pretty similar. More power, obviously, in the minors. But Christian Stewart is a guy that's a really good guy to get in redraft this year because he's going to hit. He's going to come up right away, and he's going to hit. He's going to hit 30 home runs. Might do it as soon as this year. Raw power, bat speed, typical big uppercut swing. Kind of reminds me of a typical lefty. Is you got the sweet uppercut. It's an aesthetically pleasing swing. As an athlete, takes a walk. Problem is he doesn't offer anything else defensively. Might be a platoon bat. And his power is pretty much only pull side. Probably not going to hit any higher than 240, 250, but he can hit 30 home runs. Not going to offer you anything on the speed. Not going to offer you anything on defense. The throwing arm is a negative in the outfield, so he's probably a DH in the future, but I think you can get away with putting him in left field for now, for at least for a few more years. Daz Cameron, guy that's coming along lately. 264, 343 slash 406 slug, 25 doubles and 9 triples point to more home runs. He hit 8, but the points to more power coming. 24 stolen bases, and just like his dad, he has a strikeout issue at 25%. Not a plus-plus defender like his dad, but still a really good defender. He's an athletic kid. Doesn't run very quick like his dad. It's a lot of similar profile like his dad. He's not going to hit for a strong average, but he can hit 20, 25 home runs as he gets going. He was in the Fall League. Performed very well, 342, 435, 468 slash, hit a homer and 9 stolen bases in 20 games in the Fall League. Really good bat speed guy. Simple swing, direct to the ball. But for me, Daz Cameron he's just outside the top 100. The other four guys listed ahead of him in this list will be in the top 100. But Daz finally started to live up to that big money he got when he signed with the Astros and part of the Verlander deal. So Willie Castro is coming in next for me. They got him from the Indians in the Leonis Martin deal at the deadline. Castro came out in a big way after he came over. Got some significant power. Probably 10 to 12 stolen bases at peak in the majors, but he can hit 15 to 20 home runs. Play a decent shortstop. Might be a utility guy because the defense isn't, you know, it's a wider range of tools. High floor kind of guy. I don't know if the defense is plus at short. Well, it's not plus. It's probably slightly above average. So you can always probably have a better option to play short. So you might get pushed to the utility role there. It could be a third baseman. So he's an interesting guy to track, a little bit of a sleeper prospect. Franklin Perez, who battled injury all season. He's also part of the Verlander deal. A lat strain and shoulder tightness after he came back, which is common after a lat injury to lead to another injury because, you know, he haven't thrown forever and he tried to ramp it up. Only started 7 games this year through 19 innings. So they took care of him, babied him, and the results were not encouraging. Kind of a lost year. Mid-rotation upside is still around, though. I think the floor is a back-end starter. But Franklin Perez, he's a polished guy, but he just needs to stick on the field more. Parker Meadows is next. He was the Tigers' second-round pick this year, first pick in the second round. 290, 377, 473. Four homers, three stolen bases, 9% walk rate, strikes out a little bit too much. He's the brother of Austin Meadows, if you weren't aware. He's 6'5", has the big long levers, which causes the strikeouts. He's always going to be a strikeout guy. The hit tool is probably 45-50 overall grade at peak. But what I'm intrigued here is the power. He's a much different player than his brother. Meadows, according to Minor Graphs, hit two home runs over 450 feet after getting drafted last year. So that shows that he's got definite poolside power. Can probably hit 25 to 30 home runs if he gets the strikeouts curtailed, because that's going to hurt him. The walk rate was encouraging as a prep kid in the GCL. So hopefully he can keep it up. He's a little bit polished. Obviously, he's got the family genetics with his brother being already in pro ball. So I'm encouraged by Meadows. I know Ralph over at our site loves him more than I do. But Meadows is a interesting talent. He's going in the first 40 picks of your first year player draft. If you want him, you have to take him around pick 25 or 30 because he's on the way up here. Wenzel Perez is another guy who's interesting middle infield option. 313, 363, 429, 12 doubles, 3 homers, 13 stolen bases, and 13.5 K percentage and a 7.6% walk rate. So good plate skills across three levels, rookie ball and two A ball levels, plus speed, plus hit tool, and plus speed with good plate skills. That's a good foundation. Those are the three skills you want for fantasy because power always comes a little bit later. He should grow into that. So he's an encouraging guy. Bo Burrows, I feel like he's been around forever. Strikeouts have gone up and down. Now he's kind of settled in as a probably number four starter long term just because the strikeouts won't be there. But if he can limit walks a little bit better. He's 3.8 walk per nine. It's a little bit too high. Needs to change up to take a step forward. Needs the slider to take a step forward. But he's got a good curveball and a good fastball. This is in the mid-90s. Needs another pitch to take a step forward. Needs another pitch to get lefties off of him, too. But Burrows has back-end rotation upside. But he's also got one of those guys that everything could just click and he could take off after he gets established in pro ball. Gregory Soto is an encouraging left-handed pitcher. He was in the fall league. He doesn't throw enough strikes. I ultimately might push him to the bullpen. But he's got a plus fastball with a slider, with a curveball and a changeup, which are extremely inconsistent. His command's a mess and the delivery is out of whack, which makes the fastball kind of inconsistent command-wise. But it's a good stuff. I don't think his future's in the rotation, though. Alex Fiedo, his stock is way down. I just don't think – I think the knee injuries he had in college, when he hurt both knees, are sapped a lot of the upside here. He's a back-end starter for me, low 90s fastball with some run and some sink. He's going to be kind of a guy in the Jordan Zimmermann mold for me, fitting because he's a Tiger, but it's going to be throw a lot of strikes, get ground balls at the expense of strikeouts. So a fringy changeup, needs to add to it. He relies predominantly on weak contact and command. And command's not polished enough yet. There's some issues with the profile, but Fiedo isn't who he was hyped out to be by the draft coming out of the draft, but he should still be a starter. Brock Dethridge is getting a lot of pub, which I don't really understand. He was a NC State. He was a fine outfielder. Got drafted this year in the late rounds. I think it's just a name, to be honest, that people like so much. But 326, 385, 504 after entering pro ball, 8 doubles, 6 triples, 7 homers, 19 stolen bases. So, like, he performed really well coming out of college, but he should. He was in, low minor leagues as a 3-year starter at an ACC school. So he should be pretty decent, should be advanced enough. Speed's the best tool here. He's a 10th-round pick. Speed's the best tool here. There's going to be some swing and miss to limit the hit tool. He's got enough power, probably 15 to 18 homer pop, to go with the speed. It's just a matter of if he's going to hit enough. 25% K rate, despite hitting 326. Obviously, got some BABIP help in that. Hits the ball hard, though. I think it's a good time to sell it now if you have him, because I think the helium's at an all-time high for Dethridge right now. I think it's a fourth outfielder ceiling. Cody Clemens is in the system here. Rodgers kid, a second baseman on the University of Texas, has some power, has some developing skills. It's hard to get too excited about Cody, though. It's the third Clemens kid to get drafted in the last half decade or so. The other one's Toronto, and then I think Houston grabbed the other one. Casey, Cody, and I forget the other one, but it's a power hit skill set at second base. Hits lefty for the Rockets kid. Kingston Liniac is another draft pick by the Tigers. Fourth round pick, I believe. A little bit of everything here. Prep bat. Probably a 50 hit tool. Could be a 12 to 15 homer, 20, 22 stolen base kind of guy down the road. Needs to work on the strikeouts, though. Strikes out too much, and it's going to hurt the profile. Elvin Rodriguez is a lefty that doesn't throw any pitch that really blows you away. It's mid-90s fastball with a good curveball. Needs a changeup to come forward. It hasn't yet. Derek Hill, defense and stolen bases, is probably pretty much what he's here for. For fantasy, the defense is good enough to play center field. So if he plays in the lot every day, he's a potential 25 stolen base guy. I just don't know if the bat's going to hold up. They got Logan Shore from the A's in the Mike Fiers deal. Low 90s sinking fastball with a changeup. Looking for a breaking ball to level out the profile. Joel Lugo is a contact-only guy. He's aggressive, will not take a walk, and doesn't really have much power. Plays middle infield, so really not an interesting projection. Dustin Peterson's a bench guy, a little bit of power, not enough anything else to be a valuable player, really. Jake Rogers, got him from the Verlander trade. Catcher that can take a walk and run a little bit. Really good, one of the best defenders in college. It's just a matter of the hit tool. The hit tool probably maxes out at a 40, but it plays up due to the OBP skills, probably make it play up to average. Some pop here, 17 homers and 15 doubles to go with seven stolen bases, 10% walk rate, again, saves the profile, but he strikes out at a 27.5% clip. Jake Robson is a fourth outfielder who should be up in Detroit sometime this year after spending some time in AAA. 255, 260, if everything breaks right, 270 kind of hitter with 10 and 10 upside, probably. Really good, better than what Detroit's run out there in the last couple of years on the outfield corners, but it's not a all that exciting one, but it's a useful one. So he's a good guy to get in draft and hold leagues toward the back end because I think he's going to get a lot of playing time in the second half of the year. I expect Detroit to be around the number one pick again following this year, too. Jose De La Cruz is a international bat. Got some loud contact, some big raw power. But again, I'm talking about a 17-year-old. So temper your expectations. It's a corner outfield profile with power, but it'll be a half decade before he's getting meaningful at-bats in the upper minors. And Kyle Funkhauser is a name, more so than anything else. Right now, he was a first-round pick by the Dodgers and didn't sign, and then went back in the draft by Detroit, and I think they got him in like the fourth or fifth round after that. Had a really bad year when he returned to Louisville. And it's more of the same. He walks too many guys, 4.5 walks per nine this year at AAA and AA. Should maybe get some time in the second half at the back end of Detroit's rotation, but he's going to need to throw more strikes to be a successful guy out there. And Daniel Woodrow, who's in the fall league, speed, contact, plate skills. He can probably hit an empty 280 with 25 stolen bases if he gets time. Good bat to ball, 18.6 K rate, despite in high A and double A. Walks at an average clip. I just don't see where the power is going to come from. He's going to have platoon issues. And as Detroit always does, they got a couple relievers. Brian Garcia can throw hard, has some shoulder concerns. Adam Wolf is a lefty, probably a starter, but back end starter at best. And then they got some raw toolsy kids in the lower levels. Jose Azucar, who I still like, and Elizer Alfonso is a catcher from Venezuela that can hit a little bit, but he's 19, so don't worry about him yet. Jose King is a good defensive speed shortstop. Spencer Turnbull is a back end starter. But that'll pretty much do it for Detroit. I mean, Christian Stewart is the guy to target here in redraft, though, for this year. Because I think 30 homers and a decent OBP and all the at-bats you can handle. I always kind of like to pilfer these bad rosters for players like this in redraft, and he's the perfect candidate. I don't know where he's going ADP-wise. I haven't looked, but not high enough is probably the answer to that question. And I hope he stays down because I want to end up with him in a lot of drafts.
Yeah, I think he is, you know, like a lot of other of the prospects, their top prospects are going to be up early. He's going to be up probably end of April-ish.
Yeah,
I think so. And he could make a
if not opening day, because he already was up. So if not, I don't know.
Oh, that's true. So let's see. I'm trying to find him on the NFBC ADP list.
It's a good sign if you can't find him.
So far, I'm outside the top 100 outfielders, as far as I can tell, unless I've already missed him for some reason. So I mean, it doesn't seem like he's going very, very high. Let's see, Stewart. Oh, he's 83rd outfielder off the board, 324th.
Who's right around him?
He's going directly after Kiki Hernandez and Kevin Kiermaier, right before Nick Markakis and my boy Willie Calhoun.
Yeah, okay, that sounds about right. I'd rather have Stewart over Calhoun if I got to.
Okay, well, here's another guy we've already talked about. Would you rather have Christian Stewart or Cedric Mullins?
Different types of players, but Mullins, because he'd give you that stolen bases.
All right, Christian Stewart or you've got Jonas Cespedes.
Oh, man, Stewart, I think, because he's going to play.
Yeah. Stewart or Steven Souza?
If I'm guaranteed a certain number of at-bats from Souza, but you know how that goes.
Souza.
Yeah, I probably lean towards Souza because of the OBP power speed combo. You got a little bit of Stewart's a legit nothing. Mm-hmm. It's power and OBP and no other thing. And at least Souza can chip in on a handful of stolen bases.
All right, last one, just to kind of troll you a little bit. He is going currently approximately 16 or 15 picks behind Tyler O'Neill.
I'll take Stewart. He's got the role.
Wow, okay.
If there's more clarity in St. Louis and about Tyler O'Neill's playing time, I'd go O'Neill. But they seem committed to giving Fowler a lot of time in right field this year. So,
all right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. For check out Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Catch us both on our respective other places, FanGraphs and Fantasy Alarm for me, Prospects Live for Matt, and that will do it. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.